Just a few more points with regards to pride, just to drive the point home so we can fully understand it and bring it into our lives. Let's just take a few examples from the life of the Salafu Saliheen. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, I don't know if I've mentioned this statement before, most probably have. He used to say, "Man kana mustannan falyastanna biman qad mat." That whoever wishes to follow the path and the way of anyone, then follow the path of those people who have already passed away and left this world. What's the reason for following the people that have already died? فَإِنَّ الْحَيِّ لَا تُؤْمَنُ عَلَيْهِ الْفِتْنَةِ. Because as long as a person is breathing, you can never say he has made it. You can never say he was protected. You can never say he was completely successful. So you might take someone as your role model who's alive in this world, and it's possible that his ending is not the perfect ending. That's why Ibn Mas'ud is telling us, advising us, ordering us, that if you're going to take anyone as your role model, let it be the people that have passed away. And he was referring to أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. He says, I am referring to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een. Why would you choose the Sahaba? Why would you follow the Sahaba? Why would you emulate the Sahaba? For few reasons. اِخْتَارَهُمُ اللَّهُ لِصُحْبَةِ نَبِيِّهِ. Allah Himself chose them for the companionship of His Nabi. Number two, وَلِإِقَامَةِ دِينِهِ. Allah Himself chose them to establish His deen. So He says to us, فَعْرِفُوا لَهُمْ فَضْلَهُمْ وَاتَّبِعُوهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَثَرِهِمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا عَلَىٰ الْهُدَى الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. So understand their virtue and follow them. So just a few examples of how the Sahaba, how the Salafu Saliheen, how they were so humble. The level of humility they had in their lives, we can't even come close to them. So for example, in the books it's been mentioned with regards to Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. He was the Khalifa of the believers. So they say, أَنَّهُ أَتَاهُ ذَاتَ لَيْلَةٍ ضَيْفٌ فَلَمَّا صَلَّى الْعِشَاءَ وَكَانَ يَكْتُبُ شَيْئًا وَالضَّيْفُ عِنْدَهُ. One day he's sitting at home, a guest comes, they perform Salatul Isha together. After that he begins to write and the guest is on the side. كَادَ السِّرَاجُ أَنْ يَنْطَفِئْ. It was close that the lamp would extinguish, the lamp would go off. So the guest that was around him, he understood the level and the status of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. So he tells him, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, Aqumu ila al-Misbah fa'uslihuhu. That, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, O leader of the believers, should I quickly just get up and get some oil and fix the lamp? If that was for us to understand it in our context, imagine there's a CEO of a business. You go to his office, and all of a sudden, for some reason, the internet wire goes or the modem stops working and the whole system needs to be reset. A person who is the CEO of the entire business, what's the first thing he's going to do? He's most probably going to phone his PA, or he's going to get one of his employees, quickly go and reset the modem, I need the Wi-Fi or the internet up and running. So this is the leader of the entire Muslim ummah sitting. The lamp goes off. So his guest says to him, you know what, should I quickly go and get some oil and fix the lamp for you? So what was the answer of the Amir al-Mu'mineen, the leader of the believers? He says to him, لَيْسَ مِن مُرُوءَةِ الرَّجُلْ أَن يَسْتَعْمِلَ طَيْفَهِ. It's not befitting for a man to use his guest to do anything for him. So then the guest says, okay, no problem, you don't want me to do it. Should I go and call your slave, your maid, your house worker? So Umar ibn Abdul Aziz says to him, no, this is the early portion of the night. My slave has just gone to sleep. I do not wish to disturb him. So then the guest asks, so what are we going to do? How are we going to get the lamp up and running? So then Umar ibn Abdul Aziz himself goes, he gets the oil and he fills the lamp and the lamp starts working. This was Amirul Mu'mineen, the leader of the entire Muslim ummah, the entire Muslim nation all over the world. And he himself goes up. This is an epitome of humility. This is the pinnacle of humbleness. Because they understood that kibr and pride is from the sifat of shaitan. One scholar so beautifully said it. He said, Allah Rabbul Izzah dislikes three things in certain individuals, and He dislikes them to a certain, to a greater degree in certain individuals. Did you understand what I'm saying? Allah dislikes something in certain individuals, and in other individuals He dislikes it to a greater degree. And then he goes on to elucidate and he says, Allah Rabbul Izzah hates the transgressor. Allah hates the fasiq. But Allah hates that transgressor who has reached old age even more. What's the reason for this? Because now you're old and now you're supposed to be worrying about your grave. You are supposed to be worrying about your akhirah. You are a shaykhun kabir. You've passed the age of 60 and you are still a transgressor. So Allah hates the transgressor generally. But that man who is old and he continues to transgress, Allah hates him to a greater degree. Number two, Allah Rabbul Izzah hates those people that are stingy. But that person who Allah has blessed with enormous amounts of wealth, and yet he is stingy, Allah hates him to a greater degree. Why? Allah has blessed him with so much wealth, so much affluence, so much prosperity, but he continues to be stingy and miserly. Allah hates him to a greater degree. And the third is, Allahu Akbar, Allah hates the person who has pride. But who does Allah hate more than this? That faqir, that poor person who has barely anything, but yet he has pride over what he owns. You barely got anything, but yet you got pride in your heart. You walk around like you are a great being, a great person. Then the scholars say, similarly, Allah loves three categories of people. But when this same characteristic is found in others, Allah loves them even more. Number one, Allah loves the people of taqwa. All of us here, mashallah, are young. But you know who Allah loves more than the general person who has taqwa in his life? Allah loves that youngster who has taqwa in him. That youngster who is burning with desire. That youngster who, when he walks out, everything is calling him to haram. Yes, we understand the environment is not always accommodating for us to follow our deen. Yes, we understand the society is difficult to live in and hold on and stay steadfast. But Allah loves the person who has taqwa. But that youngster who has taqwa, Allah loves him to a greater degree. Number two, Allah loves the people who are generous. But Allah loves that person who is poor, but yet he shows generosity towards others. He barely got, and this was the characteristics of Sahaba. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً. The Sahaba would come to visit one another. They barely got anything to eat for them and their families. They would extinguish the light. They would pretend as if they are eating as long as the guest ate. As long as the person that came to visit me is full, I am happy. So Allah loves those who are generous. But that person who's poor, who's living hand to mouth, but yet he shows generosity within his own capacity, Allah loves him to a greater degree. Then he says, Allah loves the people who have humility, the people who have tawadu, humbleness. But Allah loves to a greater degree that individual who has the best car, who has the best clothes, who has the best of everything, but yet he shows humbleness. Yet he is a humble man, a person of humility and tawadu. Allah loves this person to a greater degree. We have to ask ourselves the question, do we want to become the beloved of Allah? Allah loves the people of taqwa, but he loves that youngster who has taqwa more than anyone else. We can become part of this group of people. Allahu Akbar. Let's take for example Umar radiallahu anhu. Everyone over here knows Umar. He doesn't need no introduction. One of the greatest companions, the second Khalifa and the second leader of the Mu'mineen. Imagine this. Allahu Akbar. He says one day Umar radiallahu anhu is traveling. And him and his slave have one camel between the two of them. So what they done was they decided for a certain amount of time, Umar radiallahu anhu would sit on the animal and the slave would walk. After a certain amount of time passes, the slave would ride the animal and Umar radiallahu anhu would walk. And as they continued their journey, they were traveling towards Sham and towards Syria. And as they're traveling, once they come close to Syria, Allahu Akbar, it is the chance and the time for the slave to be on the animal. So then Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, who was the governor of Sham at that time, he comes to me, Umar radiallahu anhu, on the outskirts of Syria and of Sham, and he tells Umar radiallahu anhu that, oh Umar, inna udhama al-Sham yakhrujun ilayk, that the people of status from the people of Sham are gonna come and visit you on the borders. It won't look nice if the slave is on the animal and you're walking. How, what will they think of you, Amirul Mu'mineen, the leader of the entire Muslim Ummah? What would these great people of status, position, what would they think of you, Umar? And then Umar radiallahu anhu, he tells Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, that, oh Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, understand, إِنَّمَا أَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ. Oh Abu Ubaidah, I don't need to be sitting on the animal for the people of position of Sham to respect me. The fact that I am a Muslim, Allah has given me respect through the religion of Islam. Can you even comprehend today? Can you even begin to comprehend that the president, he's going to be in the, forget any car, he's going to be in the best car. He's going to have his whole entourage around him. Imagine if he was to be walking somewhere and, can you even imagine? Umar radiallahu anh, leader of all the believers, look at the humility they had. They were people of Quran. They understood, lower yourself, Allah will elevate you. They understood, humble yourself, Allah will raise your status on the day of Qiyamah. Allahu Akbar. One more incident. علي رضي الله عنه دخل علي بن أبي طالب السوق فاشترى قميصين. علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه, he goes to the market and he purchases two pieces of clothing and he's with his slave. Generally, what would a normal person do? If we had a slave or a maid or someone who was beneath us and we took them to the market, or we took them, for example, to the outlets, we'd probably go to the Ralph Lauren store for ourselves and then we'll probably take them to the Nike store to buy something for them. So he purchases two pieces of cloth and he gives his slave the option, you choose whichever one you desire and take whichever one you like. This was the epitome of humility they had. The dunya meant nothing to them. The reason why we find it hard to be humble is because we have made the dunya our everything. Coming on to the ninth juz of the Quran. I don't know if you guys remember last year we were going through Arba'in lil-Nawawi. We were going through the 40 hadith that Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has mentioned. And in there, the first hadith, does anyone remember? Allahu Akbar. You guys weren't even sitting with pens and papers, I remember. I remember I said you probably like Bukhari, Ibn Hajar, your memories must be amazing. So the lesson of the ninth juz of the Quran is one ayah. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ أَيَّانَ مُرْسَاهَا. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the people are asking you with regards to the day of Qiyamah, when will it occur? قُلْ, say O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إنما علمها عند ربي لا يجليها لوقتها إلا هو ثقلت في السماوات والأرض لا تأتيكم إلا بغتة. How amazing would it be if you understood and never had to waste time translating? How amazing would it be if the community knew Arabic? We make dua to Allah Rabbul Izzah, He allow us to learn the Quran and learn the language through which we can understand the Quran. So, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these people are asking you, when will Qiyamah happen? Say to them, إِنَّمَا عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ رَبِّي. The knowledge of when the day of Qiyamah will take place is by Allah. So that hadith I was referring to, where Rasulullah ﷺ is sitting with his companions, a man comes in, the people don't recognize him. And imagine we're sitting like this and someone comes in and sits right here and you don't recognize him. So the long story, the long incident, that man was Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, and he asked Rasulullah ﷺ a number of questions. Then the last question he asked him was, Ya Muhammad, what did he say? Oh Muhammad, tell me about the day of Qiyamah. When will Qiyamah happen? So Rasulullah ﷺ tells him, مَا الْمَسْؤُولُ عَنْهَا بِأَعْلَمَ مِنَ السَّائِلِ. I'm sorry to tell you, but the one asking the question and the one being asked the question possess the exact same amount of knowledge. Neither of us know when the day of Qiyamah will happen. Allah Rabbul Izzah, in the last ayah of Surah Al-Luqman, He mentions five things which the knowledge of which is exclusive to Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ. Number one is the day of Qiyamah. When will it happen? وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ. When will the rain come? Only Allah knows. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ. What is in the womb? Only Allah knows. But then someone might say, my brother, in this day and age, we're having, what is it, baby, revealing the gender of the baby, and there's a balloon, and one's blue and one's pink, and that's how you determine if it's going to be a boy or a girl. But in the Quran, you're telling me Allah says only He knows what's in the womb. Let's understand one thing, one concept. Knowledge of the unseen means without using anything for someone to be able to tell you about something. So if the doctor just looked at the lady and he told her that you're either going to give birth to a boy or a girl, is it possible?
No.
With 100% conviction, he just looks at the lady and he says, oh, you're going to give birth to a boy or you're going to give birth to a girl. Is it possible? No. They use certain instruments through which sometimes they determine, most of the time they may be correct, but they use certain instruments to determine the gender of the child. So similarly, here Allah said, only Allah knows, but that doesn't negate what the doctor is telling you, because the doctor doesn't possess ilmul ghayb, he's using instruments. So number three was, what's in the womb? وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدَى. Does anyone know how much money you're going to make tomorrow? Does anyone know, for example, brothers, canvas, whatever, how many canvases you're going to sell tomorrow? In the car business, can you tell me, can with conviction, tomorrow we're going to sell 10 cars or 3 cars or 5 cars? You can't, only Allah knows. And the fifth aspect, the fifth element which only Allah knows and is exclusive to His knowledge is, وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتٍ. No nafs and no individual knows where they will die. The lesson of the ninth juz of Quran is prepare for the day of Qiyamah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he would speak about Qiyamah to his companions, إِحْمَرَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ, his eyes would become red, عَلَى صَوْتُ, his voice would become loud, كَأَنَّهُ مُنذِرُ جَيْشٍ, as though he is warning his warriors. For us to understand in today's concept, let's say for example, yesterday was the seventh game of the finals. Let's say we're going into the fourth quarter, both teams are tied. And each manager is going to go to his set of players and he's going to give them a team talk. You think he's going to tell them and he's going to speak to them in a soft voice that you go there and please you do this. And he's going to be full of passion. He's going to be full of passion. He's going to motivate his players. He's going to speak to them in a loud voice. His eyes are going to become red and he's going to become... Similarly, when Rasulullah ﷺ would talk to the Sahaba about the day of Qiyamah, إِحْمَرَّتْ عَيْنَا, his eyes would become red. His veins would pop out as though he was warning his companions and an army of an oncoming battle. And then he would tell them, after describing to them Qiyamah, بُعِثْتُ أَنَا وَالسَّاعَةُ كَهَاتَيْنِ. Today we're living like we're not going to experience Qiyamah. You know what our messenger said? بُعِثْتُ أَنَا وَالسَّاعَةُ كَهَاتَيْنِ. Me and the day of Qiyamah have been sent like this. And he indicated with his two fingers. Meaning your index finger is smaller than your middle finger. He's saying that me and Qiyamah has been sent a small amount of time behind me. Qiyamah is coming, prepare for Qiyamah. When Allah Rabbul Izzah speaks about Qiyamah in the Quran, and He speaks about the entire humanity will be living on the earth. وَنُفِقَ فِي السُّورِ. Allahu Akbar. When was the last time we pondered about Qiyamah? When was the last time we thought about Qiyamah? Aisha radiallahu anha. And remember, my brothers and sisters, these are personalities who knew they're going to get Jannah. Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of the messenger, is sitting next to the messenger. She begins to cry. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks, oh Aisha, why are you crying? What does she say? Does she say, I'm worried about what I'm going to eat tomorrow? I'm worried about how much money we're going to make tomorrow. She says, ذَكَرْتُ النَّارَ فَبَكَيْتُ. ذَكَرْتُ النَّارَ فَبَكَيْتُ. O Messenger of Allah, I remembered Jahannam and I began to cry. O Messenger of Allah, I have a question for you. Are you even going to remember your family on the day of Qiyamah? Are you going to remember your wives and your beloved spouses on the day of Qiyamah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answers Aisha radiallahu anha. And he tells her, O Aisha, three places, لا يذكر أحد أحدا. No individual will remember the next person. And Allahu Akbar, all three are related to the day of Qiyamah. Number one, عند الميزان. By the scales, each and every person will come. His scales will be, his actions will be weighed on the scales. At that moment, O Aisha, I'm very sorry to tell you, nobody will remember the next person. Allah says, وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا. O Aisha, the second place where no one will remember anyone, عند الصراط. When on this side, on either side is Jahannam, on the other side of the bridge is Jannah, and the bridge is sharper than a sword, thinner than a hair. O Aisha, I'm sorry to tell you, nobody is going to remember the next person at that time. There'll be some people who are going to cross at the speed of lightning. There'll be some people that are going to cross at the speed of a fast horse. Some are going to be walking, some are going to be crawling, some are going to barely be making it, and some are going to fall off. Oh Aisha, I'm very sorry to tell you, at that time no one's going to remember anyone. Oh Aisha, the third time when no person will remember the next person, you know when? Is when the book of deeds are being handed out. Every person is worried. Am I going to get my book in my right hand? Or am I going to get my book in my left hand? My brothers, we need to remember each and every one of us is an author. Each and every one of us is writing a book. And who's going to read the book we are writing? We ourselves are going to read that book. Yesterday the ayah was recited, اِقْرَأْ كِتَابَكْ. اِقْرَأْ, what does اِقْرَأْ mean? Everyone here knows, what does it mean? Read. كِتَابَكْ. He never said كِتَابَهُ, his book. He never said كِتَابَهَا, her book. كِتَابَكْ, read your book. Read your life. Read what you've done. Read how you lived. كَفَى بِنَفْسِكَ الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكَ حَسِيبًا. This book will suffice for your accountability, which will be taken today. Today we read the ayat in Surah Al-Kahf. وَوُضِعَ الْكِتَابِ. The kitab will be placed, the books will be placed. فَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ. You will see the transgressors. مُشْفِقِينَ مِمَّا فِيهِ. They fear and they are scared of what is in the book. وَيَقُولُونَ. They will say, يَا وَيْلَتَنَا مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ. What's wrong with this book? لَا يُقَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. This book hasn't left any small thing that I done in the dunya. This book hasn't left any big action of mine that I done in the dunya. وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا. And they find present in that book whatever they've done in the dunya. You think, oh Aisha, at that time anyone's going to... أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ. The person will, everyone will be gathered. Imagine there's a competition that took place here today. And only one person can be the winner. And everyone gives it their 100%. When the announcer stands up to announce the winner, everyone is looking with anticipation. You think anyone, if it's something that is something which is beloved to us, you think someone's going to take out his phone or go to the toilet or go outside or go somewhere? No, you're going to be here. You want to know what's the announcer going to say? On the day of Qiyamah, the entire creation is going to be there. Then the announcer is going to announce. The books are ready. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ. Whoever will be given his book of deeds in the right hand. If that person who wins the lottery, you hear how he screams. Some people become so happy, they die out of happiness. They have a heart attack, they can't believe it. The person will be edging. Am I getting my book in my right hand, my left hand? What's going on? I'm unsure. Then he is given his book in his right hand. And what's he going to do? What's his reaction going to be? He's going to scream at the top of his voice, Ha umuqra'u kitabiya. Come and read my book, everybody. See what I have done. I am successful. Inni dhanantu anni mulakin hisabiya. I knew I am going to have give accountability for my actions. فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ. The person who wins the lottery ticket and he has, for example, he's living in a mobile home. You think he's going to live in there forever? The first thing he's going to do is going to go and buy a mansion. فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ. The person who gets his book of deeds in the right hand, he's living in luxury. فِي جَنَّةٍ عَالِيَةٍ. A very high jannah. قُتُوفُهَا دَانِيَةٍ. The fruits of jannah will be hanging for him. Ready for him to eat anytime he wishes. It'll be said to him, Kulu, eat. Washrabu, drink. Hani'an bima aslaftum fil ayyam al khaliyah. This is the day of Qiyamah. Have I prepared this book that I'm writing to be a good book? Let's take the flip side of the coin. Every person is anticipating, and a certain individual is called out and is given his book of deeds in his left hand. What's his reaction going to be? Quran tells us. فَيَقُولْ. He'll say, يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أُوتَ كِتَابِيَهْ. If only I wasn't given my book. I don't want this book. I don't want to read what I've done. I haven't done good things. وَلَمْ أَدْرِ مَا حِسَابِيَهْ. If only I never had to know my outcome. يَا لَيْتَهَا كَانَتِ الْقَاضِيَهْ. Why can't I just be dead? I don't want to be living at this present moment.
ما أغنى عني مالية. My wealth never helped me. هلك عني سلطانية. My dominions gone. My cars are gone. My house is gone. Then he'll be said, خذو, grab him. فغلو, shackle him. ثم الجحيم صلو, throw him and fling him into Jahannam. This is the day of Qiyamah, my brothers. You know how we are going to be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah? حُفَاتًا عُرَاتًا غُرْلًا. You're going to be naked. You're going to be barefooted, uncircumcised. Aisha radiallahu anha asked the messenger, الرجال والنساء, O messenger of Allah, men and women, ينظروا بعضهم إلى بعض. If everyone is naked, O messenger of Allah, people will look at one another. Rasulullah tells Aisha radiallahu anha, O Aisha, the severity of the day of Qiyamah is such, everyone will be naked, but people won't even think about looking at the next person. This is the severity of the day of Qiyamah. The day where we will stand in front of our Creator. The lesson of the ninth Jews is, you don't know when Qiyamah is. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ يَسْأَلُكَ النَّاسُ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ. Oh Muhammad, people ask you about Qiyamah. Tell them the knowledge of Qiyamah is with Allah. What does Allah say after that? وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّ السَّاعَةَ تَكُونُ قَرِيبًا. How do you know is very much possible? The day of Qiyamah is very close. بُعِثْتُ أَنَا وَالسَّاعَةَ كَهَتَيْنَ. How do you know the day of Qiyamah is very close? إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَعَنَ الْكَافِرِينَ وَعَدْ. And what's going to happen then? يَوْمَ تُقَلَّبُ وُجُوهُهُمْ فِي النَّارِ. The people who disbelieved, who transgressed, their faces are going to be turned in Jahannam. What are they going to be wishing? يَا لَيْتَنَا أَطَعْنَا اللَّهِ. If only we had worshipped and obeyed Allah. وَأَطَعْنَا الرَّسُولَ. If only we had worshipped and obeyed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it's too late. There was no preparation. You know how you and I are going to come on the day of Qiyamah? وَلَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَا فُرَادًا كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. Allah says, you are going to come to us alone, the way you were born alone, the way you are going to die alone, you are also going to be resurrected alone. The ayah, one of the last few ayah that was recited today, every person will come فُرَادًا alone. The entire humanity will be living. When Allah Rabbul Izzah created the heavens and the earth, He also created the horn. He created the angels. And the angel who was given the responsibility of blowing the trumpet, as soon as that trumpet was brought into existence after the creation of the heavens and the earth, that angel puts his mouth over the trumpet. He's looking towards Allah. He's waiting for the command. Oh, when will my Allah order me to blow into this trumpet? You want to know how close is Qiyamah? For example, you're playing a soccer game, you're into stoppage time, and the ref puts the whistle in his mouth. Do you think the game's going to last for another 5 hours? How long is that game going to last? Few seconds. The game is coming to an end, we're in stoppage time. The referee has got the whistle in his mouth, he's going to blow the whistle any moment now. Let's give it our all. Even the goalkeeper goes into the attacker's box, into the other team's box. Why? Out of desperation, time is running out. We need to score a goal. The whistle is in his mouth. That trumpet is in the mouth of the angel already. And he's looking towards Allah. And he's waiting for the command to be given. Blow the trumpet. وَيَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّورِ. The day where the trumpet will be blown. فَصَعِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ. Everything in the heavens and the earth will be destroyed except for who Allah wishes. What does it mean except for who Allah wishes? You must be thinking, how can anyone survive? Some angels, some people have written, Jibreel alayhi salam, Mikael alayhi salam, they'll survive. Then Allah will take their lives. Then the angel of death, Allah will tell him, is there anyone left in the dunya? Is there anyone living and breathing in the dunya? So he'll say, oh Allah, إِنَّكَ حَيٌّ لَا تَمُوتُ. Oh Allah, you are living, you will never ever die. So Allah will say to him, O angel of death, يَا مَلَكَ الْمَوْتِ. You know the ayah, kullu nafsin da'iqatul maut, every soul shall taste death. You are also my creation, and every of my creation has to experience death. So Allah will take the life of the angel of death. Everything will be finished. ثُمَّ نُفِخَ فِيهِ أُخْرَى. Then the trumpet will be blown a second time. And the way water, let's say for example, there's a dead land, there's no crops, water falls, and all of a sudden you see the crops growing. Similarly, when the angel blows into the trumpet for the second time, water will fall, and all of us will be resurrected from our graves the way crops grow. What preparation have you and I done? Coming into stop, we're in stoppage time of our lives. What preparation have you done for the angel whose the trumpet is in his mouth? You can't, words can't express how close Qiyamah is. So the lesson of the ninth juz of the Quran, my brothers, prepare for Qiyamah. Think about this book that you're authoring. Think about the face with which you will stand in front of your Creator. Inshallah, we'll continue tomorrow. SubhanAllah, wa bihamdihi, subhanAllah, wa bihamdihi, shadu la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.